This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The Vietnam War, it's over.
Your job's just begun.
A new HBO original limited series.
Welcome to the world of spycraft. Strap in.
From executive producers Park Chan-wook and Robert Downey Jr.
What are you concealing?
Based on the Pulitzer Prize-winning novel by Viet Thanh Nguyen.
What if I told you that I was a communist spy?
How did you become this?
The Sympathizer, streaming April 14th on Max. Subscription required.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Challenge All-Stars 3 Wrap-Up Podcast for the finale. I am Brian Cohn. With me, as always, is my co-host, Alice here. Allie, how are you?
Looks like we made it. I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Doing very well. Another season wrapped up. Pretty good fashion.
I'm not doing as well as the people in the hallway at my apartment building.
Oh, no.
I'm sure people can't hear it, but like, well, okay.
Oh boy, hopefully it's a pleasant conversation in the hallway, but doesn't sound like it.
Ruckus. Can I start with the most important thing from this episode?
I'm so curious what the most important thing is. Please tell me.
The most important thing that we have to accomplish here is to clarify that Naya was saying break his shit knee, but with one asterisk is that a dutiful podcaster was watching with the subtitles on, which I actually don't like to do, but when I like really need to catch everything, and the subtitles were incorrect.
Wow.
And that's why I was so sure that she said break his shit D. But now that that has been, and people really didn't come for my wig. I really appreciated everyone clarifying. But that explains the mystery, the unsolved mystery of the final.
I mean, if you can't trust Paramount Plus's subtitles, who can you trust in this world?
I mean, far be it for me to criticize their technology when my own ears conspired with them against me.
Or ears technology?
What? No, like their technology. I assume they have AI or whatever
doing it.
The subtitles. I don't think somebody's there typing in the episodes.
Oh, man. Well,
there's no little man in the machine.
What a fun job that would be, though. That would be kind of fun.
I mean, let's just end the podcast now.
Jedi and West,
not just
baby.
This one, the whole thing.
And we got a whole other one to do. We got a whole new season getting started. We made it here. We got a whole other 20 episodes ahead of us.
Oh, talk to me about that tomorrow. Anyway, yeah, no, I'm excited. And look, the real headline here is that if you told me that Jonay and Wes were going to be the winners of this season, I would have said, Not bloody likely. What's that from? Anyway, I would have been shocked. I am shocked. But also, wasn't it the most likely outcome?
Probably. Yeah, I think probably heading into this final, if you had to like put a chip behind one person from each side, I feel like Wes and John A would get most of the chips going in. I should have done my annual Twitter poll heading into the final, like at the Pulse of the Nation. I didn't do that, but I feel like Wes and John A would have gotten the most votes heading into it.
It's the lamest thing you've ever said. And it's a high bar to clear.
I'm glad I could surpass that. Here we are.
What are we doing here? All right. I mean, it's like the other headline for me is I found this very hard to watch off the. He cut the momentum off of the first episode. It was hard for me to get back into it. Once I was into it, it was really just a lot of gross food eating. Goes back to, again, our primary complaint. One episode for the final. This would have been a great final to me with just one episode.
It would have been. It really was a lot of gross food. That was probably like 25% of the entire episode was gross food eating. Like, they really milked every ounce of that brain that they could possibly get out of people eating and struggling and people overcoming it and every side story you could possibly have with the gross eating challenge, they really pushed on us. It was a lot. But yeah, if this was 90 minutes last week, one fell swoop, this would have probably played a lot better. It wasn't as bad because I did like that they kind of reset things and the points went out the window and it was like a final race, which I liked. But if they just did it in one shot, it probably would have flowed a lot better.
Let's just get to that, because like I don't think anybody needs us to break it down second by second. I think that's the most interesting thing that happened this episode. Despite everything I said, you know, about how I didn't want someone to be eliminated in the final. Of course, somebody's eliminated in the final, but not in the sort of King of the Hill challenge, which failed. But in another challenge where the top two male and female finishers with points were safe, the bottom two battle it out in a crossword puzzle. I think that was generous. And then the points no longer matter. I mean, you've said how you felt about it a little bit, that the points get wiped away. I agree that I think it's like a more successful outcome. It's the hybrid where you get the points along the way. It's better than having like times that they combine, but you also get the final moment, which we both like, where the person at the end is going to win. There's no calculation to do. The final ends when the first person gets to the yacht. But damn, I'd be frustrated if I were in the game and the points no longer mattered.
Yeah, because look, I mean, if they didn't do this, then theoretically, either you're going to have a scenario where potentially someone is so far up in points that whatever like the last stage in doesn't even matter, that no one can catch up, or they have to make the last stage worth so much that everything else doesn't matter anyway, so it's all about the last stage. So if you're going to have to do that, just make it that everything else kind of goes away to the last race and just make it whoever gets their first wins. Because you could treat it as, all right, the last stage got you 50 points and you win. Because that's like kind of what they would have had to do to kind of balance everything out.
Yeah, it's also, or they would have had to stop showing us like the counts and like they do with the times. Or that's like the only way that really works. But
right.
And we don't think it works. It was a little bit of a runaway, even in the 1v1v1v1v1v1, such that, I mean, shout out to the editors that seemingly tried to make it look like Brad and Kayla were giving John A. and Wes a run for their money. But it was pretty much the story of Wes and John A.'s domination in the last leg.
Yeah, the only thing we got a little glimpse of was from John A when maybe they kind of pieced it together where it seemed like she knocked over her puzzle as Kayla was kind of getting there. But honestly, they could have spliced that together and it wasn't even like that, because it didn't even seem like Brad and John A were wet. Like, I don't know if they even got in the water by the time Wes and John A finished. So yeah, they really dominated this final, or at least the back half of it.
Did you end up liking that people got eliminated? I mean, we see Mark and Kellyanne, didn't mean to forget her already, go out mid after we get another emotional conversation from Mark about his mom.
Right. And like the part that he kept stressing was, I'm just so glad I get to like finish the final in honor of her. And it's like, oh, I mean, like, I know it's like they had to like make the edit to make it worse. But like, that seems like kind of mean, right? To like make this emotional thing about it. I just want to finish the final for her. And like, he's about to get a cut. Like, I don't know. Maybe you don't include that. But I don't mind the elimination. I think going to the end of the final with four people is a lot. I think it always made sense to cut at least one, if not two people along the way. So I think cutting someone here, I mean, we figured it would be after the overnight. Like, again, like, they don't really cut people before the overnight. They want people usually suffer, in this case, I guess, enjoy the overnight. So I think cutting people right after it, it makes sense. It fits a challenge final.
I mean, it's interesting. I took the Mark thing to be like, he wasn't going to win at that point in points. And it was like, well, at least I've made it to the final. And like, I get it that it's like the end. He didn't make it to the end, but he made it to the last episode of the season.
Sure.
And to me, like, I kind of thought it was like an attempt to make it an easier exit. Like, Mark is at peace with his finish because his mom will like watch all the episodes.
Right.
But fair enough. Yeah. I mean, I just think like, maybe if the crossword puzzle map was on the yacht, that would have made more sense to me. Because as you're mentioning, I really thought, like all the other contestants thought, there was going to be some twist related to this yacht. I think the twist was meant to be like, well, now that, you know, we gave you a taste of the money and now you've got to get back on the yacht and get the money. But that, like, didn't really pay off. I was fine not seeing them suffer, but I just wanted more. Like, even if the map was on the yacht, it would have, like, made a little bit more sense to me.
Right. I was even waiting for the, oh, I shouldn't have, like, eaten so much food because now I have to eat all this gross food and I'm all full. Like, oh, I wore a cut of, like, Wes being like, oh, I only had a couple bites of the food because I knew something else was coming and I wanted to, like, keep my stomach fresh or something. Like, there was really no payoff to the yacht at all. Yeah, I think having the map or whatever puzzle you wanted to do as part of this elimination be on the yacht would have made all the sense in the world. I don't know why they didn't do that. Even if they just put like the map from the house back on the yacht and then someone comment, oh, look, that was from our house. That's kind of cool. Just to have something like that would have been a lot better because the yacht thing didn't. I mean, like you said, I don't need to see them suffer. They suffered enough in the first and especially the second part of the final. But I was just waiting for something for it to matter.
You were okay with the elimination happening because it fits the form of the final. Is that a sufficient way to go out the elimination challenge they had, the like country? I mean, was it a crossword puzzle? Like there were cities, but did the country go over in the correct place on the map? I know it did for the USA. Like what was the puzzle?
Well, ask Work that. She's like the aficionado of what constitutes a puzzle.
I totally agreed with everything she said about that.
Yeah. I mean, I guess this is a puzzle. It's like instead of like a word for a crossword puzzle, you have basically a map, right? Like you have the picture of the country and you have to line up what the country is. I think it's a crossword puzzle.
But Argentina was all the way on the right side of the board.
I think so it's like, from where the A started, right? Like they probably started in Argentina.
Did it make it that far? I don't know. I'd have to go back.
Argentina is a long word. It spreads pretty far.
I think that's generous. I don't know. But there were supposed to be clues. It was like you ran over in the city. Like it wasn't clear to me what was happening here. If I'm in the challenge, I'm infuriated that this is the elimination during the final. If I'm a viewer, which I am, I didn't really love watching it. It felt like very like inconsequential and a little lame.
Yeah. I wish because kind of like we said about the momentum, like it was kind of weird to have them reset and then get eliminated. Like when they're all fresh and like happy, like I wanted them to like have to do that when they're at like the ends of their rope, tired, beaten down, like who has the mental fortitude to like push through and then do this. But once you're, you know, I got a few hours of sleep, got some food. It's like it was a little anticlimactic to have it be like this here. I wish they did it before the overnight portion when they were as deprived, but they just, I don't think they've really ever done it like that. So I couldn't expect them to do it now because they just don't do it like that.
yeah, maybe it should have been the top two finishers go to the yacht and they have to do the puzzle and then they can like swim out to the yacht when right. they're done, which would have been 5 a.m.
Right.
But I still think like it's hard to imagine them doing worse than the show made it seem like they did.
Right. Yeah, yeah, I would think so.
Nobody like did that easily. It's no. I kind of thought Brad and Mark, I really thought the edit was showing that Mark was going to give up and like let Brad win. Like they were not going to solve it, but I'm glad that didn't happen.
No. Yeah, I'm glad too. Definitely. I do think this, the way this played out makes me like the points to John A and Nehemiah a little bit more, cuz it like gives them a little of that extra boost where it's like it really matters for them, because it really keeps them out of the bottom two here. Like if you get those first 5 points, it would have to really stink throughout this first part of the final to be in the bottom two. So to kind of get that extra boost to like keep you out of it, I do like that portion of it a little bit more than even just how it initially played out.
I mean, Mark would have still been in the bottom.
That's right. You have to really stink, which Mark really stuck.
Yeah, no. I really think like I'm often critical of the things they try to do like that. I really do think that worked. That was like a sufficient reward, but not an insurmountable one, that fit the risk involved in accumulating the stars.
Yeah. No, absolutely. Would it have been even better? Like, why even do top two, right? Like, it's not like this elimination was head to head. Like, they easily could have just had all three people do it outside of the top one. Like, why even have the bottom two do it?
Because then the first half, which is the majority of it, is so irrelevant.
Mm.
Like, that would have infuriated me, honestly, as a contestant and as a viewer. Like, I can't invest an hour of my time. I mean, it was probably 15 total minutes when you take out all of the stumping for their families. But, like, I don't want to get invested in the points and have Wes do all these confessionals about how he wants to be winning and then, like, it not at all matter. I mean, I guess the West confessionals, I'm arguing against myself, because it would be emphasizing that first place is all that matters. But I just like then none of it mattered, really.
Yeah. Or it doesn't matter as much, really. They'll only have one person.
But like it doesn't matter. Then it's like, you know, if it's going to come down to a crossword puzzle and that's going to matter more than coming in second place through all of those legs, like, come on.
Right, because theoretically you could have just like not done anything and just like rested your entire body and mind for the crossroad and then just try to win day two.
And I feel like that's what happened last year, right?
A little, yeah. People tried to like stop doing one of the puzzles when they thought they could make it. Yeah, so after who was it? I thought like Veronica quit or someone quit during because of the injury. They just like stopped doing it.
Sorry. So I like got myself all
in a tizzy. I mean, anything from like before the overnight, any of the check, it was a cool, interesting note about TJ's first challenge he ever hosted coming back to play here. I always enjoy one of those throwback nuggets. But anything else for you that happened before the overnight, before the elimination?
I mean, Brad said something funny I said before that I didn't think the King of the Hill 1v1 heat really worked. I was so excited for it in the preview, and then I really didn't think it mattered. I think that should not have been done on water. I think that gave a huge advantage to just whoever was biggest. And, you know, I think it made it harder to really scrap, to like just be able to go with gravity in the water.
Yeah, what stinks is why couldn't they just swap this, right? Make the crossword like this checkpoint and make King of the Hill the elimination. I feel like that would have, for dramatic purposes, would have done much better.
Say that one more time. Sorry, someone's
blowing
me up.
Do the crossword elimination in this checkpoint like battle and do the King of the Hill as the elimination between.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I would always rather a more physical elimination, a more who wants it more elimination than something like the crossword puzzle.
Right.
So I agree with you there. But I did like Brad saying, I'm not afraid to wrangle someone down for 5 points. You know what I mean? It's like, yeah, no, that's a, we know what you mean. It's exactly what you said. There was no like innuendo.
I think it was a Nehemiah that said, Brad's like holding his brain to try to get it to work. Brad has his like defeated mental look going on, which I feel like it would have been very cool if MTV did a lot of flashbacks of all the other times Brad has struggled in puzzles and he's had the exact same pose on. That would have been pretty funny because I guarantee there has been other looks like that.
And not to dog Brad, but the other thing to I think is the biggest takeaway for me before the elimination is just like John A stepping up and slapping 60 pounds on her back while Brad takes 40. You know, we didn't see how that finished out and I didn't count anyone's bags, but I believe it. And I feel like people are like, oh, mom strength every time John A does something physical. Like, no, John A is an athlete.
She's just a beast.
Not to disrespect moms, but like, it's not like she's summoning some like spirit. Like, she's an athlete.
Mm-hmm. It's goat strength. That's what it is.
Anything for you that stood out?
I didn't like how clearly Nehemiah and I think it was not or Nehemiah and Kelly when they made the choice to go up, try to make it in two trips. Like, that was a big dud that everyone else was so easily did it in one and then like they clearly lost. I kind of wish their choice made more sense and it worked out for them. They're like, oh, it was a short trip, so going up twice makes more sense. That was a bit of a dud.
Yeah, I agree. I wouldn't be surprised if the producers or the, you know, the people on set were like stunned that they made that decision. It didn't seem like a decision anybody would make. Mm-hmm. Like, it's usually like grab the bike and go this distance, grab this weight and go this distance. If it's like make as many trips as you need to, I feel like there would have been a lot more weight than 100 pounds.
Right. Or it would have said it, right? I don't really know if the instructions even said like make as many trips as you need to. I think they kind of just like implied that because usually if they do that stuff it's like much, as you said, much more than 100 pounds, like 60 40 50 50s. I mean, I feel like they've done that in finals where you have to track miles and miles with that much weight, let alone just like potentially one trip somewhere.
It's also like carrying 40 pounds versus or 50 pounds versus carrying 20 pounds, like 60 versus whatever it is like not sufficient to go at double the pace.
Right.
Like you'd have to be able to go at double the pace of someone carrying the other weight. And it's just not enough of a weight difference.
Yeah, and that's
not
just
that I carry a lot of weight like that, but you know.
Yeah. And double the pace just to match it. Right. So it has to be even more than double to make up the there and back between someone just going there. So yeah, that definitely doesn't seem worth it.
Here's a random question from the yacht life. Some people were drinking a little champs, and far be it from me to shame anyone for drinking a little champs. But if you're in the final, are you drinking on the boat? You're not drinking on the boat.
I feel like I'm definitely not drinking on the boat, right? I feel like that's a wild move. I would be afraid even to eat. I feel like I would think the food's like poisoned. I would feel like there'd be like something hiding in the food. I would be on high alert like the whole time on the yacht.
Well, that's completely insane. Food at least sustains you. I think that my drinking thing is like you're not getting any benefit from having alcohol in between this when you're severely dehydrated. And it really reminded me, not that anyone cares, the bar exam is 6-hour days, I already forget, some amount of hour test days, and the biggest mind game is the night in between.
Mm-hmm.
And like you're like staying at a hotel, you're only around people who are also taking the bar exam, and you're supposed to like go to dinner and enjoy yourself. And I think both of my friends had like one beer and I was like, absolutely not. Like I can't add one drop of anything that's gonna harm my ability to take this test tomorrow. Maybe I'm just projecting.
Yeah, if anything, I feel like you want to take almost like a shot right before to try to like numb the pain of what you're about to do. But if you do it like the night before, you're just gonna be going to sleep anyway. So what is the one glass of champagne do? I don't know. The drinking doesn't seem to add much there.
I need all brain cells. But I was pretty bored. Honestly, I feel like I'm being so down about it. Like, I'm happy with how this worked out. I overall thought it was a good final. But again, like, when you're filling it with so much time of the same storylines, right?
Yeah.
It's Brad and his kids. It's Naya's growth without Jordan. It's Shanae's growth without MJ. It's Nehemiah's growth as, like, being the person on TV and in the game he wanted to be, instead of like overreacting or reacting to stuff. Like, we've seen the same storylines the entire season, mm-hmm. and it's frustrating to watch like another 30 minutes of filler during this final with the same mm-hmm. information.
Oh, yeah, I mean, we saw this the exact same scene to start this final, right? We even said, like, why even show this here? Why not just splice it at some point during the final when they're like doing a montage or something? And that's like, that's what this would have been here for, because they showed the exact same clip. So again, Wes being like, I don't even care about the money, I just want to win the game. Like, how many times did we hear him say that in the last two episodes? It was a little frustrating to have this be spliced in again when we just heard it last week.
Agreed.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details. With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
But okay, so we covered the elimination. Love doing this in no order. So sorry to everyone. That's my fault.
I did. I was surprised to see Kayla win. I thought this was all setting up. Not that I believe in even karma or like that Kayla deserved karma for what she did, but the fact that they were so emphatic about bringing up, oh, this is karma for Kayla cheating on the blast puzzle. I was surprised to see her then like beat the edit and win.
I mean, to me, it was a textbook elimination edit, especially like reminiscent of the challenges of challenge past in the last like maybe five seasons ago plus, where like 100%. Even they still do it now, right? You go to an elimination and it's like, my money's on Jordan. You can't beat Jordan. Jordan's incredible. Mark beats Jordan. Like, I'm not saying that that's how the edit was. That's just an example. Like, I knew when they were like, Kellyanne's been studying that map. What are they talking about? Like, what are they talking about? So I kind of thought the edit was so heavily favoriting, Kellyanne was so the heavy favorite of the edit that I didn't think she had a chance. If anything, it's like that, including the like, see, karma just kind of shows like what the editors really think of the whole cheating accusation.
Right. If she really studied the map, Kellyanne needs to learn some new studying tactics, because clearly that did not work. If she studied it and couldn't remember like 10 of the, and what's crazy about the crossword puzzle is like, not only that, but they had all the letters, right? Like, they weren't even spelling it out. Like, they had all the letters to like kind of piece together. Which I don't think any extras, right? I think they just had the letters to fill in.
Yeah, I died when they were like, who said that about Brad?
Was it Brazil with an S?
Yeah, I was like, and Brad hasn't filled out USA because his S is not available because he's used it to spell Brazil.
And I think Mark spelled Thailand. Like, I don't even know what letter instead of a is of like
T-Y-L.
Yeah. That was funny. I mean, it is just weird because like you see TJ laughing and that's like the vibes of like a mid-season trivia challenge with like pretty low stakes, not, you know, on the verge of getting cut from the final. So like the vibes like were a little off with what the stakes of this elimination were.
Agreed. And like maybe it's like softens the blow slightly in that like Kellyanne and Mark were in dead last with the points and like completely impossible to like hit the lead. So to the extent that they thought it was points based, like they probably were more or less out of it, which is why Mark's on the boat being like, look, I'm probably not going to win, but like my mom would be thrilled with how far I've made it. So maybe like, I mean, I don't think they would have done better in the individual. Like, I do think Kellyanne was maybe more hobbled by partners than Mark was, but I don't think that they were winning this individually.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I'm not entirely sure of their eating skill set, because I feel like that's like the key driver of the back half. Like, whoever was going to finish that probably was going to be the winner, unless it was, it just seemed like that was like the much larger portion of any of the tests that they had to do. So, I mean, maybe Mark's a better eater in a situation, or Kellyanne, if they could have pulled it up. But I am kind of glad that they were the ones to get cut, because it would have been pretty lame for them both to be dead last and then go on to win. So it all kind of played out pretty perfectly, honestly.
Let's go to the gross food challenge, because it was not only a huge part of the final, but it was too much part of the episode for me. Like, I struggle with the gross food eating challenges, and I had to fast forward, and I usually tough it out. It was so long and so gross that I could not watch it, which has not occurred since Jervis in season 2 of Survivor. And I was 7 years old
June
then.
29th. And here you are vomiting again. Yeah, it was a lot. It really was a lot. They really gave like full stories to everyone about like their journey with this plate of food. I mean, we got Nehemiah, who had to like make a very crucial decision for his like his life about like, you know,
I'm
a vegan.
That is insane.
Yeah, like at first I thought he was joking when he walked up there. He's like, oh, is there a vegan option? I was like, oh, that's kind of funny. It's like, no, he's actually like a vegan. Like, he's looking for a vegan option. I feel like this happened before, like other seasons of the challenge where they like they don't take those type of things into reference. Like, why not? Why does it have to be a meat thing? It could easily be something else that's like wouldn't go against someone's like lifestyle decisions that would still make this the same impact.
I do think that that's going to be, here's a prediction and not a hot take, but I do think that's going to become more and more of a calculation. It's like, well, like they gave Fessy in Big Brother, he had like an elimination where he had to eat ham, but they gave him like a vegan ham because he's Muslim, right? There was like something like that.
Oh, it was, like, it used to be like a have not, right? I think it was a have not
thing. No, it was like a ham challenge. It was like some pun with ham. Okay. He had to like some ham delivery. Mm-hmm. But like that, like I wish I didn't remember that. So but it's fascinating to me because, and then I think there was some other situation with Fessy. And anyway, who cares? Not who cares, but
I think it was during the challenge. There was definitely something with him on the challenge.
Yeah, there was also one during the challenge. Maybe it was gross eating.
I think it was when Casey was dying, like not dying, when Casey had like the broken knee.
Yeah.
And like
Fessy
had to make the decision about whether to eat or not.
You're 100% right. But like it used to be a thing on like Chopped or cooking shows. It's like the Jewish woman who keeps kosher and doesn't eat pork has pork in the basket and she can't taste her food, but is like cooking it. I've recently seen criticisms brewing on Twitter of like, maybe it's like not cool to make somebody who's like personal or religious beliefs go like do something that's against that for mm-hmm. money when other people don't have that weight. Right. So I think this is like going to be a thing of the past at some point.
Yeah, because I mean, they could just, it's not, I don't think you have to get rid of the food eating, but like just make it something. Like there's plenty of things you could choose from that you make people eat a lot of that they're going to like grossly puke. It also, like they've done seasons where it's not even gross food. It's just you have to eat a lot of food and like that still does the same impact and you're just not forcing people to make these like ethical decisions about it. Like you can do that in so many different ways that it wouldn't impact the TV portion of it at all or impact the ethical decisions of it at all. Just give them something else.
Yeah, no, agreed. And I just like, I don't really need the gross food. I know some people love it. I know it's a staple of the challenge. I just like, I don't enjoy, I've never enjoyed it. But the one thing that should have maybe taken more airtime, what was this block pyramid that looked impossible to do? And everybody's just like throwing up 50 block pyramids like Jenga is easy.
Yeah, super easy. They're all professionals at this, I guess. Yeah, there was they really stressed the wind, I feel like, when Wes got there. It was like, oh, we're right on the beach. The wind's going to blow it. I guess these pieces were pretty sturdy. The only time, like, Johnny knocked it over once. But that was really it. And then they cruised right through it. Even the puzzle. I know it was only, like, a 6 or 7 piece puzzle, but sometimes those are pretty tricky. They sailed on through that. I think that maybe they thought those would take a lot longer. And that's probably why they spent so much time on the food, right? Because like Wes and Johnny just smashed the other two ports and there's like nothing else to show.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. I do think I like the idea that they have something like this that's so precarious that could fall at any time. I think that was like the most exciting part is when Janae's fell and then Kayla showed up. So it's like, I like when they do that in Survivor. I like when there's something like that where no matter how big of a lead you have, like, and no matter how good you are at puzzles, there's like a certain element of like, anyone could come back at any time, which I think the challenge needs.
Yeah, absolutely. You need to have some level of suspense if it to kind of keep the entertainment. The edit can only do so much. There needs to be some level of viewer imagination of like, oh, what if John A hits that piece again? It all comes crumbling down. You need to have at least a little bit of that.
Who did you find yourself rooting for, if anyone, this season?
The whole season or for the final?
No, I'm sorry. The final. My brain is broken.
I definitely was rooting for John A. For the women, I just felt like her story, and I just love this. Would have loved to see her go back to back. I think it's a great thing to see her do, and I just love Johnny so much. She's like one of my favorite like people on reality TV right now. So I was definitely rooting for her. For the guys, I find myself always a little bit rooting for Wes because I just love how he wins. But I did find myself wanting to see Nehemiah win, as much as it didn't seem likely. I know how much he wants it, and that's for me always what's kind of like pushes the scale of like when people want to win this show so badly, it really, that's the person I like to get behind. So for Nehemiah, I could feel how much he wants to win. So I found myself more pushing for him.
It's weird. I really wasn't rooting for anyone the whole final until like the very end. And then I really wanted Wes to win. And at this point, it was already just extremely clear that Wes and John A were going to win. And I think it's more my Wes rooting comes from like a place of like as a pro Wes anti-bananas loyalist. It's like it's nice to see Wes come back and just like dominate in what is one of his more like ethical games. Not that I care about ethics, but like, you know, he went in for Brad. He watched his allies' backs. He didn't play like the snake game that everyone accuses him of, although I love it. And then he just dominated. So like, take that. And for John A, it's like, I honestly forgot she didn't win All Stars 1. In my head, she won 3 times in a row.
Yeah.
But it's an absolutely, again, we talked about it last week. It was a dominating physical game from her, whereas last time we saw a dominating social game from her. So it's just really incredible to see somebody who's can do both and do both so well and still stay under the radar. And I'm curious to see what her next move is. I think it's funny almost to see two people who should have been the biggest targets on day one win, and if they'll let them do that again next season.
So I dropped this take. I said,
oh, I saw it.
Okay. I did some research. This wasn't just like an unfounded hot take that's trying to stir up some controversy. I did some research to kind of back it up. I did a little digging into the history of back-to-back winners, the challenge. So in history, this is just doing, because I feel like there's a difference between winning like back-to-back times you're on and back-to-back seasons. I think when you have like a gap in between, I feel like that changes the perspective of people and things like that. So I think there's a difference. So in terms of just winning back-to-back seasons, before John A, there's only been 7 times in the history of the challenge that people won back-to-back times. And only one woman, only Veronica, back season 7 and 8, won back-to-back. Other than that, Darrell did it, Landon, Evan, Tyler, Bananas, and CT, each one back to back, and most of those are filled with like large team wins and things like that. I think the closest comp that I thought of for Johnny's back to back, and no one's ever won 3 straight. Darrell won 4 straight, but that was like scattered over like 6 or 7 seasons. So Johnny winning back to back, really, as you said, really winning 3 straight. Like CT did it 36 and 37, and that was the closest with like mixing up pairs, mixing up by yourself, doing all these different things. So like that's like the closest I feel like this 2 wins for Janae, but the fact that she also won season 1, like to win 3 consecutive seasons.
Why are we saying that she won?
Because she was the top female. Like she was the top female. Like if any other season, basically the history of the show, she wins the show.
Okay. Here's the thing, and I'm not here to yuck anybody's yums, least of all Janae's. I think she is the undisputed numero uno of Challenge All-Stars, male or female. Can we be, and I don't know the answer to this, my only I didn't think you were tweeting that to stir up controversy. I don't think it's a crazy take that's like, Brian, get out of here. But can you compare Challenge All-Stars with Challenge Proper? Maybe the answer is yes, because age and like it's still pretty physical, but like certainly Challenge All-Stars 1 is not a comparison to the Challenge Proper. Maybe like very, very early days of the challenge. But like that's in terms of the competition and the challenges. I just really don't know the answer to that. The answer might be yes, and it's apples to apples. Mm-hmm. That's just my one asterisk.
Yeah, I mean, I think you can, just because like this, it's not like a pros versus Joes. This is like the challenge just on Paramount Plus. I think it's become clear. Like these are the, like we have people like Kayla who was just on the season, about to go back on. Like this is just the challenge just in a different network. So for me, like this is very much the same show. So you
I mean, it's not it. It's not just the challenge in a different network. It's a totally different age bracket, and it's a different difficulty of physical challenges.
I don't know. You think it's much easier?
Oh, it definitely is.
You think it's much easier?
I don't think it's much. The first season definitely was.
Yeah, probably. I don't think the last two were. I mean, I think last season's final was one of the toughest finals that they've had in a long time.
Well, it's hard for us to really gauge, right? Because you're watching the people competing in it. I'm not here to say, like, I feel like I'm on the wrong side of this debate, and I don't want it to. I'm just raising a counterpoint, sure. Right? An asterisk potentially on this, in terms of the field. I think John A. I don't know. How do you think John A. would do if she was dropped on a regular season of the challenge?
Is it like she might
that
not
sort
even,
of that doesn't that answer the question?
Not really. Like I'm not even saying John A. is like the best. Like I think there's a lot of people that it, you know, in a given season, I would pick the win over her. I just think what she accomplished these three seasons
certainly
is like the most impressive thing that's like ever been done. Again, like I think Laura would beat her in a season. Like you've gave me the choice for sure. I think like Emily or Evelyn, like there's a lot of people I think would beat her, but in like what has happened in the history of the show, her being the top female in three consecutive seasons is insane. It's insane. And she did it so differently each time. The show, like the versatility in her game, it's incredibly impressive.
And I said that, like, again, I'm not trying to be here poo-pooing the accomplishment. For me personally, in the way that I consume the show, which is that I forget what happens the next minute, sure, like a goldfish, is like, it means nothing to me to say something's like the best achievement that anyone's done on the challenge. Cause sure, like, they're to me, it's just like apples to oranges, season to season, who's there, like, but I get what you're saying from like a factual perspective. If you count them all the same, then nobody's done this before. Yeah. And like, regardless of if it is the best thing, most impressive thing to ever happen on the challenge, it's extremely impressive, period. So I don't need to be here disagreeing with the statement, and I don't like what side I've accidentally ended up on, but, yeah, I mean, it's amazing. It's amazing. And do you think, I do think she remains, I forget who drafted her, but, like, very early. Was it me?
She was in, like, I have the look at the draft results, but I think she was in, like, the fourth round.
Oh, it wasn't me. But I think Scally did it because he was, like, she's not going to be allowed to get by again. But she showed up, and I think you and I disagreed. Am I wrong about this?
Scally took John A. in the third round, first pick of the third round. She was the ninth person taken overall.
But I do think you and I disagreed and thought that she'd come stay under the radar. Do you think it's possible for John A. to come back on All Stars 4 and get to the end again?
Absolutely. I think she has this way about her that she's just not an intimidating person. I think people come on there and be like, oh yeah, Jenna's won twice, but like, I feel like I could take her in elimination. I'm not too worried. Maybe if she gets to the end, I'll be worried, but I'll try to get her out before then. She just has this like calming presence to be around, and she's not like an overwhelming figure that it's like, yeah, I know, I like Jenna, I'll work with her. And she does a great job of talking to the new people that they'll bring in, or some of the people who got cut out early. Like, she's able to like make new connections and do all these things and win enough in the dailies to save herself that absolutely she can do this 100% of the time next season.
I think it will be a harder journey for her because I don't think anybody is underestimating her next season. Like, I could see people underestimating her this season. You cannot underestimate her next season, especially when she's demonstrated such a dominant physical game. However, I think what you're saying is what I agree with completely, is that it's hard based on her performance this season to get to a position where you can take a shot at her.
Mm-hmm.
And I think after this season, people won't want to go against her in eliminations, which is required rid of someone.
Yeah, if you're like picking your elimination opponent and you see some type of mental comp, you're not going to pick John A. Like, you're just
why gonna, mental? Look physical.
Oh, like, but I think she's probably more known, like, you definitely just don't want to go up against her in a puzzle for sure. But you probably don't want to go against her physically. I mean, the way she dominated Kayla was incredibly impressive in the Last Man's, whatever the.
But that's
Last
what I'm saying. I don't think it's because people are going to be like, oh, she's so calming and she's not a demanding presence. Like, I think it's because she's now, it's going to be like the Wes, or what it should be is like, I can't get a shot at her because I don't want to risk going in against her versus I forgot that she was a threat to win the final.
Right.
I think that's going to be her biggest asset. I do think this is going to be hard for her to overcome next season.
Oh, for sure. It's not going to be easy, but I think if we're due must lose draft All Stars 4 and Jhonae's on
you
the
cast.
You
said 100% of the time. 100% of the time, you said.
100%, she can do it. Like, say,
I was like, well, I could do it.
All Stars 4, must lose draft. I'm making it a point to not have Jhonae on my team. I'm just making a point not have her on my team. She would love to see her win four straight. Get the Yankee 9 dynasty of the 20s and 30s here. Win them all.
I would take her now for Scally's rationale after this performance.
Yeah, I mean, she went so just looking at the just like she went first pick of the third round before Kendall, Sylvia, Kayla, Naya.
Yeah, but we're
Melinda,
acting like it's because she
Kellyanne.
Like it's she should have been in Scally should have been right. She did go into multiple eliminations. He had the right read that people would be like on the outs with her and being like, she's got to go.
Right.
She just won. And, you know, far be it from us to criticize somebody's pick in that draft.
Right. Yeah. No, we definitely cannot. But although we got a little closer near the end, which we can go through. But yeah, no, we got slaughtered this season. It wasn't great.
My favorite thing that happened to you. Well, you got slaughtered. I came in second place. Spoiler
alert.
Right. My favorite part of the whole final was what an unglamorous, unceremonious way to have them finish by having to use surfboards as like kickboards to like breaststroke legs, you know, like up out together the way to the boat. Like nothing has ever been less athletic than Jhonae and Wes getting to the boat.
Yeah, there's no cool way to like kick on a surfboard. There's no way to look suave doing that.
You know, and then we do get one moment of looking back that I actually enjoyed. I think Brad gives a great pep talk. I like that they didn't have the losers come on the boat, you know, they did last year. They sent them off in a jet. Here they have the losers like sitting on the beach, licking their wounds. And I love when Brad says, like, it's a great season. It's like, good game. We had a great season. It's like, what a weird way to talk about a reality competition show.
Right. Good season, boys. We'll get it next season.
Yeah.
This is a way off track, but I did like the moment of Nehemiah coaching Naya not to like quit, because you could like Naya was waiting for him to be like, yeah, you got no chance to win. Like, just stop eating, give up. But I like that she didn't give up. You see a lot of other people in that moment, Jay, that just give up and don't even try. Like, good for her. Good for her to like keep going. And like, she really had no chance to win. Absolutely. But she didn't quit. Like, kudos to her.
No, I agree. I thought you were going to be tougher on Naya because you don't like when she threatens to quit. But I like that you've come around on that.
No, look, I honestly, like, the only part where you can threaten to quit, and I won't admit, is doing the during the food portion. Like, that will bring you to your core. When you're like, she's like, I'm only halfway done. I felt that pain when you're like doing something for so long and you're still only halfway, knowing you have to do that all over again. I really felt that in my core. So I would have been upset with her if she did quit. Like, you can threaten to quit all you want during the food portion. That you can get a pass from me there.
It's also like, you know, it's not the same, but it's a little bit similar to like Kellyanne in like just one of the legs where she's like, you know what, like, I've lost, so I might as well get the rescue crew to come drag me in.
Right.
And like at that point, there was absolutely no world where she could win. And then it's like, well, then why am I? It's very fessy. It's like, then why am I going to sit here and torture myself?
Oh, and speaking of, yeah, they made Nehemiah and Kellyanne go back and then bring the bags like again, right? Like even though everyone else had finished, this is again way back, like that first heat, they already lost. I think they made them bring the sandbags all the way to the finish line. Like they didn't just like send the chopper to bring them to the end. They actually made them do it.
Yeah, it's interesting. It also happened with Wes and Naya. Like, I don't know if they should have just quit. Like, if it was because Kellyanne, like, called for a rescue service and they can't deny you in the water. Like, I don't know.
Right, yeah. I guess, you know, if you're going to quit, make the challenge have to save your life. You know, call them on your bluff. They're going to let you drown. I guess they probably won't. But I guess you never know.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
So last week I said I was going to take a holistic approach and look at who I really thought was most likely to return. I absolutely did not do that. And I'm not sorry about it. But I didn't even put the final four in order. I might just like, should we just, you could do it if you have it, but I might just do it
on the fly.
The final four.
I
was just going to say of the final four.
We could just do the final four.
Because I almost think like they're probably at the top of the list. I mean, Kellyanne to me is the one who maybe drops a little bit lower, maybe just out of the top four. She did not get I'm Sure We'll See You in the Future from TJ.
No. And I would be, I could see Naya not coming back. I feel like this is like might be a one and done for her. I mean,
she said she's ready to come back, and the last thing she has to do is win one of these.
I mean, there are definitely other women that I would like to see come back more than her, for sure, that have gone home.
Well, that's not what this list is.
Right. So like for the female top four, John A, I think it's probably how they finish. I think it's John A, Kayla, Naya, Kellyanne.
I almost think it's John A, Naya, Kayla, Melinda, Kendall, Sylvia, Kellyanne. I know I said I wasn't gonna put that, but like I really think they were low on like Kellyanne really didn't do shit this season. I'm sorry.
No, she didn't. Yeah, her and Kendall, they were big time busts. You would think like, oh, they're like the dynamic duo underdogs. They're gonna come steamrolling through and like show the treehouse who's boss. And like they really went out with a whimper.
And then for the men,
is there any chance Johnny run like rides off into the sunset here? I mean, she just won 500K in, I don't know, 5-6 months, whatever the time span of these two seasons. Like, do you think she just might be done?
I don't see why she would be done. Like, I had that thought, like maybe she should, like, because I just don't think they're going to let her get to the end next season. Like, why would she come back? But I'm like, look at Wes, look at Bananas, look at CT. Like, hell yeah, she should keep coming back. She should come back even if she goes out first every single time in the next All-Star season. Believe me, they're writing her a check, you know, so why not?
I'm sure her admission fee has gone up, you know, get a little negotiation going. Get a good agent, John there. John, get your fee up. You deserve it.
I'm sure it's already pretty high.
Let's see. For the men, between Wes, Brad, Nehemiah, Mark, I would say Nehemiah won, for sure.
You think Nehemiah is the one most likely to come back? Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah, I think he has the most still to give and to want to like give to the show, for sure. I could see Wes never coming back again. I could see him coming back next season. Who the hell knows with Wes? He's got, you know, 10 companies, 2 houses, 4 monster trucks, and everything else he has in his life. So it could be anything. But I think, yeah, Nehemiah won. I'll say this. Yeah, I'm gonna do Nehemiah, Mark, Brad, Wes.
See, it's so funny. I put Wes at 4. Also, I am so torn between Brad and Nehemiah and Mark. Like, I almost it's like almost all three of them are tied to me. I give the slight edge to Brad, maybe.
Really?
I don't see Brad ever saying no to a season, and I think he had a great season. Like, I feel like his stock is higher than Nehemiah's in terms of getting an invite based on this season alone, maybe not based on all three seasons, but...
Yeah, I think if I had to pick one person to, like, I don't want to bet my life, but nearly bet my life would be on All-Stars 4, I would say it's Nehemiah.
I think it's... Like, honestly, I would be shocked if Brad, Nehemiah, and Mark aren't on the next season. Maybe Mark third. So, yeah, who cares? I agree. Like, I mostly agree.
Something always goes wrong with Brad. It's crazy. Like, Brad, like, does so well in so many things. And there was a cool flashback with him and Wes in the duel. Brad almost caught up to Wes. That was much closer finish. Obviously, Wes here dominates. The duel, I think, was within seconds, I think, that Wes beat Brad. But for someone like Brad to only have, like, one win, like, you feel like he's been so close, like, 5, 6, 7 times in his career that, like, he's just, like, again, something always just goes wrong for him. It's kind of weird.
He can't close.
Nah, can't.
But I guess I've already spoiled the results of the Muscles draft.
But, yes, so Scally and Matt took it down. No one really had that great of a showing, so I don't think they could really be giving themselves a big pat on the back, because by the end of it all, we were all in the negatives, every single one of us. Matt and Scally finished with -7. We finished with -11 from this week. They had John A. and Wes, which, again, I feel like should trump the whole thing. The fact that they had both winners, I feel like, means we really won, I think. What can you do? So they each lost 5 for their wins. Kellyanne, for you, gained a point this week for her elimination loss. And my team was scattered with points. Everyone's showing up in the final, which is not what you want to see. Brad and Kayla lost points for their elimination wins. Mark gained a point for his elimination loss. Brad and Kayla lost a point each for their second place finish. Which, I mean, technically they finished second, but they didn't really finish second. Like, no one really finished. So, like, they're all kind of tied for second.
I think when Naya and Nehemiah have to get timed out of, like, the fifth to last checkpoint, they're in third.
But, like, there was no, like, second place prize. So really, I don't know if, like, technically it was a second place finish, but it's okay. We lost anyway, so it's all good.
I mean, yeah, this will be my last must-lose draft. I'm retiring on the bottom. Stuart said, Rye, congratulations to me because I finished in last or second to last every single week, but then finished in second in the last week.
But at least, you know, you broke the curse. Veronica didn't win, so your first round curse is done. So that's great to see.
I'm waving to the adoring fans. I have a surprise for you, Brian.
Oh, boy.
Based on your recommendation, without your knowledge, I got fully caught up on The One That Got Away on Amazon Prime.
Amazing.
It's a terrible show.
Oh, no, it's not. It's fantastic.
Betty Who is the best thing about the show. She should host every reality TV show.
No, the format for this show is brilliant. And I cannot believe it's never been done before, which, if anyone hasn't watched before, the One Who Got Away. I mean, are we done with Challenge All-Stars? Like, or we could put it.
Yeah, this is my end of it.
Okay. The One Who Got Away on Amazon Prime starts with 6 people, and they bring in people through what they call the portal, which is like the law with the light.
The branding is incredible. It's incredible. The way they use the portal is incredible.
It's fantastic. And they bring people in who have come through their lives at some point in their past, only between, you know, for 10 seconds, for, you know, maybe a past relationship, to give them a second chance at love. So it's people that everyone, like, for these 6 people that they all know before, you're not meeting new strangers or Instagram followers, and they get this second chance of love. It's a brilliant concept.
Well, what I really liked about it is when I first heard about it, I thought it was going to be all exes, and it's almost no exes. Right. It's exes when they clearly have nobody else to bring for you. Like, right. It's everything you said. It's just, I did find myself fast forwarding through a lot of the dates at the end, but that's what I tend to do with dating shows.
There's some punching up to do. Like, they, you know, this was the first season. There's a lot of things they need to work through, but, like, the concept is there. It is absolutely there.
It's a date. No matter what they do, I fast forward through the dates of Love Island. Sure. Like, I just don't care about the dates. So that's not a criticism of the show.
Yeah, the Ari the One dates are one of the most boring things on television in the history of the world.
But yeah, what's great about it is that it can be, you know, they have a gay man on the show, and like they can have, because it's everyone's like individual dating journey. So you don't have to just cast like 30 people who will all be interested in the same woman or man or whatever. Like, you can have a diverse group of six people on one dating show, which a lot of the dating shows obviously haven't solved for.
And there could be crossover.
We saw
some crossover potential with some people that were there for one person, interested in another person, which made some fun.
I wish there was more of that.
There should have been more. But my favorite part of the entire thing was the gay guy from New York, Jeff. He had, in just one of the most brilliant ways to go about getting like your entire life on television, he had his entire friend group from New York City all on this TV show. A group of like 12 of them. They all showed up. They all knew each other. They're probably all at the same brunch spot like on Saturday, all like talking about their time on the show. It was like, oh, this is like my friend from New York. This is my friend from New York. They all know each other. It was so incredible to see how many friends this guy had all coming down on the show. It was amazing.
Well, I don't think this is a spoiler, but the opposite is true for a guy who I can't even remember his name, but you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. When the frickin' dog came through the portal, I laughed so hard.
So what's funny, I put out a tweet about the show, and I've had a couple of the cast members responded, or not responded, like retweeted it. I would love to have you guess the amount of followers that some of these people have, because I'll just have you guess. Let me pull them up to see exactly.
Well, I've seen a couple of them on Instagram because I had to look at their Instagrams, okay, but not on Twitter.
So I had Nigel retweet it. How many followers on Twitter do you think Nigel has?
8,000.
Are we doing higher or lower? Should I just give you the answer?
Just give me the answer.
362.
Total or thousand?
Total.
Well, you know what's crazy? And I think what's clouding this. Well, I'll let you keep going with the game.
Let's see. There's.
It's very Are You the One season two energy, where like every cast member would like slide into our DMs to like try to get, because we were talking about the show.
Yes. So the guy, I believe, who showed up with his dog, I believe was Vince, right? That was who showed up with his dog. Okay. How many followers does Vince have on Twitter?
Human or canine?
Human.
That was so funny when that dog shit. I was like, done.
And then he had like such a serious conversation with the girl who he was with. He was like, do you think after this you'd be okay like living with a dog? It's like, oh, okay.
This dog specifically.
Right.
So like 112.
49. Like, yeah, this is like people that just like are not on social media. It's unbelievable. And that's all I have.
Okay. Who was the woman whose dad and brother came? She dated the guy who, like, when the lights were out, like when the cameras were off, was like, maybe this is all fake.
Yeah. I don't know. I can't remember her name. But
hold on. I recently looked at Alyssa's, Jeff's, and her Instagram. Let me find her. So, like, how many Instagram followers do you think Jeff has?
He probably has a lot. I'm going to say he has 4,700.
45,000.
Oh, wow.
That's the thing. You're too old. Instagram's where it's at, you know?
I guess so.
I need to find, what was her name? Was it Natalie? No, here it is. Okay, her name was Casey, so I wasn't even close. Guess how many Instagrams Casey Ma has.
22,000.
172,000. And then the person who's, actually her Instagram follow has grown since I last looked, but Alyssa Anderson, whose profession is model, and spoiler alert, someone comes through the portal who's just a follower of hers on Instagram.
One of the great scenes of the reality TV this year, where she's like, you're a follower, and just storms off. Unbelievable. Which also, I feel like Alyssa needs to like have a little bit like introspective to realize that the people they're bringing on are people from your life that want to date you. And the fact that there's no one in her life that wants to date her besides like an Instagram follower, I feel like should have been like a call to action that like maybe she's like a mean person in real life.
Oh, get out of here. Plenty of people came through the portal.
She had like four people.
That's what everybody had.
No, but she hated all of them.
Did you not see the last episode? No, we're not spoiling this.
No one just had an Instagram follower. Everyone had at least like, and everyone she had was from high school, basically. Until like the last guy.
guess how many followers she has?
She probably has like 200,000.
3,324.
I'm horrible at this game. I'm all for like a fact.
I feel like she deleted her whole Instagram. Well, her first post is November 1st, 2020. She only has like 15 total posts.
I feel like there's like an ex-boyfriend that she cut out of her Instagram.
I was going to say, I feel like she was clean, knowing she was going to be on TV. She just deleted everything she's posted.
I mean, you know, that's probably a smart move.
But it was a good show. People should check it out. Easy watching while you're doing other stuff.
Someone will be on season 39 of The Challenge.
Well, that's the other thing that was crazy. It's like, how are they still finding, like, how are they still finding people like this?
And how do you think the show was cast, right? Like, so how do they find these people in their past? Emily and I were like speculating they must have just like deeply interviewed these people, friends, to get like one-off anecdotes to find certain people. Obviously for Jeff, he just like they showed up at a brunch one time and cast his entire friend group. But for like everyone else, like how do they find like, oh, this person went to prom with my friend and like I kind of like them. Like how do you find these people?
Where did they find the guy who met the girl at a conference and like helped bandage her knee and met her for 15 minutes?
I mean,
do we believe it? I don't know.
I think so. I don't know why. That would be, it's like weird to lie. Like, I don't think like the six people gave these people names. Like, I think that maybe they asked them for names of like exes and friends, and then they used those people to connect other people. But I mean, incredible detective work to find all these people's like brush with loves.
It's probably a mix of both. It could also be like catfish in reverse, how like the catfish contact the show catfish who want to come clean. Mm-hmm. And that's how they like cast that. So like there is a world that these people submitted a list of 50 misconnections and then they like barked up all those trees.
Right. Just incredible. I mean, I hope it's a season two and they make some changes because I mean, the way they had the two different houses, the dynamics there were great.
I wish like that was amazing. But I wish more like couples happened, like between like people who were there for their right. people, like found love with each other. But it's also like they don't spend any time together with the people they're there to date. Like zero time is spent with them.
Yeah, a lot of people were more upset when their like friends in the guest house were sent home than like their ex or whoever like didn't pick them. There were more tears shed about that than their failed attempts at love.
Do you think any couples are still together?
I tried to do some research about that.
I know it's hard to find.
I found like one article, but even the one article was like there's very little evidence to support yes or no. So it seems like they're all like, you know, still laying low. I'm surprised like the show doesn't have more attention. I feel like it's because it's on Prime. I feel like Prime is like a very bad spot for like you have to be a really like a Maisel show to like hit the mainstream from Amazon Prime. I think you really need, this needs to be like, if this was a Netflix show, this would be all over the place.
I agree with that. But again, I want to just shout out to Betty who I was shocked was hosting this. Mm-hmm. Like shocked.
Yeah, she was great. I loved, I mean, I couldn't get over like anytime they would send some person home, I have to send you back to the portal. It made me laugh like 9 out of 10 times that they did it. It was so funny.
I'm closing my portal. That was the best. Let me close the portal.
There's some people here are closing their portal for the people they have here. And my guy's not. Why isn't he closing his portal? It's incredible.
All right. So there's some bonus content for you all until we see you in a couple of days.
Challenge USA, baby.
Challenge USA.
Until then, you can follow me on Twitter. CohenBryan_. Cohen with a C, Brian with an I. Follow you.
Like Brad, we got no quitting us. You can follow me at Last Tweets.
Till next time, have a good one.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details. With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.